Welcome to Thundercast, Thunder Tech's podcast where we give you our take on what's new in marketing, what's cool, what's lame, and why you should care.
Hey there, and welcome to Thundercast, Thunder Tech's regular podcast. I'm Craig Israel, creative director at Thunder Tech, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, A1 account manager, Eric Krylo.
Hello, Craig.
Eric, we have a very special episode of Thundercast today. Today, we'll be talking about diet pills and the devastating effect they have on today's teenage audience.
It's certainly something that's close to my heart, so I'm prepared.
Are you so excited?
Yes. This is what I've been waiting for all week.
Actually, what we'll be talking about today is a topic that's associated with our trends book. So we just released our annual trends publication where we explore some of the new and emerging trends in the marketing world. And so in today's podcast, we'll be doing a little bit of a deeper dive into one of those articles, specifically real-time content monitoring for social around social events. And as a very special guest to inform us about that topic, we have Madison Bender, our social media team manager.
Hello, thanks for having me.
So Madison, you've been on the podcast before where we've talked about different aspects of social media, but today we're talking specifically about social media before, during, and after some sort of physical real-world event.
Right. Yes. So as brands, many of us already have events, and we might not categorize them as events, but we're thinking annual fundraiser, an open house, a community festival, even a product launch could be an event. So how do you roll your social media tools into that and capture an audience that's probably already there and use that to build up your event and your brand?
So when I think of some sort of social media event, I'm thinking brass bands and crowds and, you know, projection screens, but you're saying it can run the gamut from, you know, 10 people in a conference room for some sort of PR release to that big thing.
Yeah, absolutely. It could be a closed seminar where people are tweeting and all the facts that they're learning, or it could be a community event where there are hundreds of people and out on the streets experiencing a neighborhood.
So at ThunderTech, we've had experience with both, right?
Yes. Yes, we have. So you could think of everything from the massive Dazzle the District events where Playhouse Square unveiled their chandelier. And then we can dial that down even into smaller one-off little events that were just capturing a quick moment, like a Downtown Restaurant Week's kickoff event, which was smaller and not as elaborate, but still needed that kind of kickoff to the larger event later.
So it's interesting to hear that, you know, despite the type of event, the size of the event, the purpose of the event, one of the things that you touch on in your article is that, you know, no matter what it is, social media is the one clear tactic to use to support those. And considering you take that stance, I'm curious as to why you think social is such a clear choice.
Yeah, absolutely. 5 years ago, I would not have made such a bold statement, probably. It wasn't as important of a tactic. But now, everyone's on their phone all the time. You're looking down at it, even if you're in a real-life situation. So the always-on nature of an event matches the always-on nature of social media. So whether it's Snapchat, Twitter, Instagram, really great live tools that are used, there's that I'm here in real life, but I still have a fear of missing out. So I want to capture it and share it and see what other people are talking about this event. Like maybe there's something happening on the other side of this festival that I need to check out. So what's this hashtag and let's follow it around. So the people are already there and doing it. The brands need to catch up to see what's happening there.
Yeah, that's interesting. I guess I didn't think about the whole FOMO concept, but it's certainly something that I think I witness in my own life when I'm on social media. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I've ever associated that to a brand or to an event, but I may have done so, you know, subconsciously. Craig, do you ever find yourself, whether you see, you know, you see an event being promoted on social, does it give you the sense of like, oh shit, I'm missing out on something pretty great here?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, like Madison said, I'm locked to my phone like most people. I probably check it a little too often, but yeah, there's been times where there's been something going on, some sort of event that I'm at or not at event or not at, and I'm checking to see, you know, what the score is, what the next act is, you know, something. Even if I'm not physically there, You're right. FOMO, my new favorite acronym, fear of missing out, is strong, right? In this always connected world, I want to know what's going on, even if it doesn't really impact me that much.
Yeah.
So, one quick, sorry to interrupt you, Madison, but if our production guy, Christian, if you could update the board of Craig's favorite acronyms, please move SCUBA to 2, and now FOMO is number 1.
That's right. Radar has knocked out of the running altogether.
And it's that example exactly. So we have it kind of twofold. Brands are running social media in real time to both monitor and capture what's happening there, but also they're promoting it ahead of time to get people to come there. And then they are watching people have conversations about it and collecting that information, engaging with people. And then afterwards, they can capitalize on all that engagement, new growth, and it forms what will happen for the next event and so on and et cetera.
So something you mentioned there, and I think I'm paraphrasing, but you mentioned about promoting and promoting in advance. And one of the things that I really liked about your article, and I'm just going to read an excerpt here, if that's the right way to say that, is the T silent excerpt?
I think
not sure.
You
stated, plan in advance, just like for the event itself. Marketers wouldn't try to secure the venue a week before the event, so don't assume social media channels and followers are ready to support the event a week before either. I really like that, and what it got me thinking about is there a general or an average lead time to consider when it comes to social, and if so, does that vary by event or by channel?
That's a great question. Rule of thumb is no one tactic is an add-on. It's not a silo. Don't wait for it. So when the event is decided, that it's named, it has a date, you start planning, you think of your tactics, what assets you have, you just collect everything all at once. And as soon as you know that this is going to happen, you'll start to have all of your tools start to fall into place. So it's do it all at once, and then you won't have to play catch up later.
So there seems to be this notion that, you know, build it and they'll come when it comes to social channels, but not really true, right? I can't just create a Twitter feed for my event and expect that people magically know what the handle is, know how to find it,
exactly,
or start following it.
Yes, absolutely. So creating all of these promotional elements is one part of it, but incorporating the social media into all of your other marketing pieces is what's going to get people to have those engagements with you. So if you have mailers that are going out and the hashtag's not on there, and there's not a reason for people to really engage with that, also is another element. But I've seen billboards where they specifically have the hashtag on it quite large, and it sets the tone for, hey, we want you to engage, we want you to share your photos, we want to see what you're talking about. It's every step of the way, there has to be a touch point that incorporates it if you want it to work.
So I'm a brand, I have an event coming up that I want to promote. As soon as I have a name and a venue and some details, I start, you know, strategizing and planning. So what's the first steps? What's the first thing I should do?
First thing you should do, imagine, I guess it goes along with knowing your audience. So how big is this event and how big will your team need to be? Is this two people on a smartphone who can walk the event, or is this an annual fundraiser where you're going to need to incorporate all of your other teams and your photographers, and you have more of a command center like feel with desktop monitors, and you still have those smartphones and you're working multiple different angles. So it's really understanding the size and not underestimating the team that you need to put it together, because that's where it starts to fall apart. If it's one person handling something that's meant for four, really it's just being honest with yourself about what you need.
Yeah, because I imagine it, I mean, what a waste if you spent all this time promoting and then you didn't have the resources at the actual event to not only engage with the folks that are trying to engage with you, but to continue moving that sort of momentum forward. So I think that's a really good point.
So then you have your event, you've built your team, you're well planned. So what's next?
During the event, what's
sure.
next? During the event, you have to be ready for anything. So you have what you're promoting, and you know your timeline. So you have some tweets scheduled because you know this act is going on at 2 p.m. or then what's going to happen after that. So that's all kind of handled ahead of time. But you just have to start searching for those conversations. So you can use anything from a free tool like Hootsuite to monitor what's happening on Twitter, and then just searching through Instagram for people taking photos of your event that aren't tagging you, maybe, or at your location, but they misspelled your name, and so on, and et cetera. You just have to be really creative and think how the user would be thinking, and just talk to people. Maybe they're looking for the lost and found. Maybe they can't find a parking spot. Like, that's why you're there. It's a little bit of customer service at that point, but also still capturing and resharing a user's experiences while they're there.
I like that idea of resharing, because I think it certainly would help a brand, you know, let's say for the sake of argument, you know, the first six people to walk in, all of them ask the same question, is, you know, do you validate parking?
Yeah.
You know, something just as simple as that you could tweet out or post on the Facebook machine, it allows people that aren't there yet to sort of get those real-time updates.
Absolutely.
I could totally see how that would be valuable. Now, something I'm interested in, and I don't want to put you on the spot here, but you mentioned anything can happen. Do you have any war stories? And certainly you don't have to mention any names specifically, but
yeah.
What's the craziest or most unexpected thing that's happened when you've been supporting an event via social media?
That is a good question. It could be a positive or negative. I think my best story is a positive. As we were getting ready for an event one time, a couple wandered into the event area fully in wedding apparel and just got married and wanted to take a photo at the scene. And we're like, what is happening right now? And we're watching this unfold. And then we're watching people actually start to talk about it. So there's people on the street who are tweeting and talking about it. So I was like, well, that was something we didn't expect to do. But it was like this really sweet moment before the event even started off that we got to kind of get people excited about. It was just a little boost right before.
So it sounds like the prep you have before an event, you have like a handful of canned things, like
mm-hmm.
like Eric's, like, you know, if we know parking is going to be an issue,
yes.
Here's something we know people are going to ask about,
mm-hmm.
right? If people are going to ask about when something happens. So you have some canned responses, and it sounds like just as important or maybe more important is to wait for those opportunities where something unusual happens. You have a bride and a groom wander
mm-hmm.
in, right? You can make hay. And you would correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like a lot of it can be this kind of tedious nuts and bolts, let's tag these pictures of the events that
yes.
haven't been tagged so that they get into the right feeds,
mm-hmm.
not sexy or exciting for the on-the-street
no.
team, but really pays dividends after the fact.
It really does, and you're right. There's just this balance of being able to go with the flow, but knowing that you've covered everything that you need to cover. So we have a checklist when we do events like this. You know, where's the closest restroom? What do you do if a child's lost? So you don't have to worry about those what ifs. It's down on paper. The whole team knows about it. And then you can have fun with those moments that happen in front of you. And at the end of the event, and when you're doing your recap and you're pulling in all those metrics, it's those moments that are going to be much more profound than I lost my backpack. Where do I find it? Kind of engagements.
So it sounds like you're also working to get everybody on the same page too,
yes.
right? Because if somebody, let's say somebody's tweeting negative things about the event or they're abusive, you
mm-hmm.
don't want one of your street team to go rogue and you know, right, tell them to go get bent. You can leave if you don't like what you're seeing.
Get bent.
Right.
Trying to keep it PC, right? PG.
Absolutely. With every event, there is training. So if you are not familiar with the team that you're working with and you don't just have that natural ability to know what the brand is doing and know how you work together, training is an absolute must because you have to know the voice and the tone and how you handle events or handle customer service and questions and thoughts. So all of that planning has to happen ahead of time so you stay on brand and you don't get derailed by potential trolls. There's always a way, and there are always trolls. Every hashtag that becomes a little bit popular starts to get spam. So how do you handle that? It all comes down to that initial planning.
And so when things go sideways, what I've heard is the best thing to do is just delete posts left and right, right? Act like they were never there.
No. We should probably review what you're reading here. It's No, the opportunity to engage is there and correct the situation. So you always want to respond. You want to respond quickly. And you want to still pull in that brand personality. You don't want to go into holy crap mode and then lose everything you've already built up, because people are watching that. You're not just talking to this person who has a problem or potentially this troll. You need to let the rest of the world see how you're handling it and move on.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I'm trying to make a joke here.
Yeah,
that
I know,
the
I got
worst
you.
Thing you can do is delete posts, right? Because
yes,
in this instant feedback world, it seems like, and this is a little counterintuitive to the brand, but it's better to leave that really harsh negative comment mm-hmm. out there than it is to try to sweep it under the rug.
Right. No, people are going to find that. It's so easy to just snap a screenshot on your phone of what just happened, and you wait for the scandal to unfold. You know, what's this brand going to do about it? The only things that really you can lean on is the terms of use for each channel. So Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all the big ones have terms of use that usually are blocking racist remarks, hate speech, mm-hmm. if you're personally attacking another person, even spam. Is listed
Nickelback lyrics, I imagine.
Probably, mm-hmm. yeah. That's a great way to lean on the channels and saying, hey, we heard you, respond to the person, let you know we don't tolerate this kind of language. Maybe this is a family event or something along those lines. We have to delete your comments. If you have questions, you have to email us or call us here. So there's still a way to respond to a troll and then delete.
And I certainly don't want to gloss over this, because I think it's something that our audience, and I use that term loosely, would be would need to know is having those terms and conditions or terms of use in a place that is not only accessible by your audience, but you can refer to when situations like that arise. Because to Craig's point, you absolutely don't want to delete it, but it is something you want to address. And I think that by having that in place already, mm-hmm. That can be helpful as well.
So we've talked a little bit about like the day of the event, and we've set it up as like people walking around with their smartphones responding mm-hmm. in real time. But sometimes, depending on the event, you need to take it a step further and execute the social media command center.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about that.
It sounds really fancy. It's something like out of just a tech geek's imagination.
Clearly.
The things that you see maybe on the internet are these massive screens on walls that have just these datas and real-time charts flowing through, and you'll see just teams of dozens, managing conversations. That's one aspect, and that's immediately where our brains go when we talk about command centers. But command centers can still be a team of two with their laptops and their smartphones and the right tool set up. So it can be a large scale of what you want it to be. And all it goes back to, how big is this event? Is this audience here actively? Is this just we're here to manage a conversation, or are we really doing a play-by-play for this whole event? So it kind of comes down to that. But the purpose is to listen, monitor, engage, and then wrap it all up.
Yeah, because you're right. When I hear command center, I think of something that's out of, NASA, right? Mm-hmm. Big screens, dozens of people.
Yeah.
But you're saying that a command
space
center
suits.
Could be it can be as compact as two people hunker mm-hmm. down in the lobby with their laptops.
Absolutely.
Right? It doesn't need to be. I guess from a client standpoint, it's good to know that mm-hmm. I don't need to invest tens of thousands of dollars into some sort of physical space to have a command center, that it can be much more affordable.
Yes, absolutely. We've done everything from the scale of having our script written out on paper and sitting on the floor with laptops doing a play-by-play of a final event or final ceremony, all the way to walkie-talkies and all the gadgets, and having our photos automatically uploaded from a photographer on the floor.
Nice. Night vision goggles.
Yes,
right,
absolutely.
grappling hooks. I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So it depends on the audience demand and the amount of content for what you have.
So, Madison, we're actually, as we record this, we're in the middle of starting to organize one of the larger command centers that we've been involved with for the Republican National Committee coming here to Cleveland.
Absolutely.
So tell us a little bit about what's going on with that.
Yeah, ThunderTech is working with the host committee. So we are working with Cleveland, talking about Cleveland, welcoming visitors here. It will definitely be a twofold, which is talking and promoting Cleveland as a visitor destination, but also customer service. So we have multiple different audiences that we'll be talking to, from the media to the visitors and the locals who are already here. And we'll have a command center that's set up monitoring and engaging a lot of people in it, and great data that we're hoping to pull in for the event.
So this is one of those. We have a physical space,
yes,
dozens of screens, lots of bodies,
yes,
right? It's kind of a big deal.
It is kind of a big deal. I'm going to have a wall of screens, and just being able to pull that all in and sharing that with partners and people in real time, it's going to be one of the most interesting events we've covered.
And the key takeaway from that is this social command center really has little to do with politics, right?
Absolutely.
This is more about supporting visitors to the city, mm-hmm, letting them experience our city in the best possible way, and helping people find what they need to find.
Yes, and we have great partners with Destination Cleveland, who are the experts in that, and that they are, this is their command center, and they're running it, and we get to be there to see this unfold in our city and help people experience it for the first time.
All right, so we've planned ahead of time, we've executed well during the event. What about after the event? What's involved with that?
Oh, we get to dig into these tools that we're using and pull out the metrics and the data and see what has happened. You know, what's going to be so fast on the ground there for a few days, we get to really dive into our tools and see what type of people were here, what they were actually talking about while they're here. And you get to separate that at the same time. It's going to be a little bit of a cleanup from the politics, and we get to see how that will push us into the next stage of bringing visitors to Cleveland. So it's both, we're learning from it and executing at the same time.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot to be said about that post-event work and how important that is, not only for future events,
mm-hmm,
but also what you can do with the information you have that could be actionable.
Absolutely.
You know, if there was, you know, let's go back to Dazzle the District example. If every single person was just constantly asking you know, what's the history behind the chandelier?
Yes.
There's no information about that out there. That might be something you can act on right away, throwing up a page to your website, talking,
mm-hmm,
about the history of the chandelier, you know, things like that. So it's certainly, you know, not everything I think after the event is something you can act on, but there are, in my mind, I think there's a lot that you can.
Yeah, you hit it exactly there. What other content can you create from this, because your audience directly told you that they're interested in it? So it's just watching and listening and thinking of those opportunities.
All right, Madison, thank you for educating us,
yes,
about event planning around social media.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
And as a reminder that if you want to hear more about this topic, you can download the latest version of our Trends publication. You can find that at thundertech.com/trends. It's a free download. We also have a physical copy. If you're dying to have something to put up on your shelf, you can reach out to us via our website, thundertech.com, and we'll get you a print version. As always, if you have a question for the show, for the podcast, you can tweet us at ThunderTech. And if you like what you heard today, please subscribe to us. You can find us on Stitcher and iTunes and wherever fine podcasts are sold. That's it for this week. Thanks for listening.